The parsha is really going to be very tenuous, but it's going to be a connection. There is a connection to the parsha, but really, what we're going to talk about tonight, really has to relate to the zman that we're in. It's in this week's parsha, Parsha Shmini. Rabbi Teitz pointed out this morning. I heard him speak at a bris that they leaned Shmini eight times. We leaned Shmini eight times this year, literally, meaning the beginning of the Parsha of Shmini, you know, Shabbos Mincha from Shabbos HaGadol, we leaned it, and the Monday and the Thursday, and then Shabbos Mincha on the second day of Yontif, and then Shabbos Chalom, and then this past Shabbos by Mincha, and then Monday, this morning, Thursday, and then the Shabbos. Rabbi Teitz said from somewhere that any year that you lane Shmini eight times, it's like going to be a very successful year, a very productive year. So, okay, it should be a good year, laning Shmini eight times. But in Parsha Shmini, which at the beginning talks about the dedication of the Mishkan, the inauguration of the Mishkan, in Perek Yud Pasuk Tezayin, it tells us, V'sira chatas darosh darash Moshe v'hine sarof, Vayikzof al Lazar v'Ali Samar b'nei Aaron hanosarim leimar. This is after the tragedy of the loss of Nadav Aviu, of two of Aaron's sons. So as they were continuing with the dedication of the Mishkan, it didn't stop. The inauguration of the Mishkan continued, despite the tragic, untimely passing of Nadav Aviu, which we learned a lot about in previous years. And there was a question as to what would happen to the Seir HaChatos, the special chatos offering from that day, and Moshe looked for where it was, and Elazar and Isamar burnt it up. They burnt up the chatos. We're not going to get into the halachos of it, the whole question of why they burnt it, why Moshe thought it shouldn't have been burnt, but it tells us, Vayiktsof Elazar v'Ali Samar b'nei Aaron hanosarim leimar, that Moshe got angry. He got angry at Elazar and Isamar. And Chazal go to town. Chazal really used this pasuk to discuss the dangers of anger. And there's a medrash that says that Moshe Rabbeinu three times got angry in the Torah. This is one of the three times. And each time something happened because he got angry. He forgot a halacha. Here he forgot a halacha. We know when he got angry, the most famous story when he got angry is when he hit the rock instead of speaking to the rock. And ultimately that caused Moshe Rabbeinu not to fulfill one of his great life streams of entering into Eretz Yisrael, Rachman Olson. He wasn't zocha to that. We weren't zocha that Moshe Rabbeinu would bring us into Eretz Yisrael. And so what we see over here is the introduction to the topic that I wanted to talk about, certainly tonight, and we'll see how it goes, whether we'll talk about this over the next few weeks. What I wanted to talk about tonight is the work of Tikkun HaMidos. We've spoken about this, but I really want to talk the essence of Tikkun HaMidos tonight. In between Mincha Ma'ariv all Sfira long, we learn in between Mincha Ma'ariv, so that when we count Sfira, we normally don't during the year, we just say some Tehillim, but during Sfira we count. Because of wanting to count after Tzeis HaKochavim, so we learn every night, and every year we have a different limud. And what we're learning this year is a beautiful sefer called Olam HaMidos. It's a contemporary book written by Rav Moshe Dan Kestenbaum from Waterbury, right? He's mishpacha to you somehow, Ariana, right? He's mishpacha through marriage, right? To Avram Chaim. And really, it's a beautiful sefer. It's an amazing, amazing sefer. And what he does in the sefer is, he talks about seven different midos. He talks about, and it's very interesting, each midah. Halavai, maybe we should do this until Sfira. We'll talk about why. But he talks about seven different traits. Emes, truth. Kavod, honor. Kina, jealousy. Kas, anger. Simcha, joy, fulfillment. Gevura, strength, restraint. And chesed, loving kindness, giving. And these are the seven midos that he talks about. But the first chapter is really such an important chapter. The first chapter is Olam Hamidos, the world of attributes, the world of character traits. And the reason why Davka, this is the Lima that we're doing this year in between Mincha Maariv during Sfira, last year we did the Sefer Orcho Sadikim, is because of a famous idea that we've learned before, an idea from the Maharal Miprag. The Maharal says, why is it that the Talmidei de Rabbi Akiva all die during this time of year? Right? We know that the Gemara in Yevamos tells us what is the source, the original source of the customs of mourning that are observed during Sfira. We know Sfira itself, the Ramban points out, is supposed to be a happy time. The Ramban in Parshas Emor says, when Mashiach comes, Sfira is going to be one long Chol Hamoed. Right? It's so hard figuring out what to do with the kids for 4 days. Like, imagine 7 weeks of Chol Hamoed. You know, okay, the car show, okay, Topgolf, bowling, ice skating, like, zoo, no, Abba, you're the only one that wants to go to the zoo. Okay, the guy got shot down, you know. Toys R Us is going to be out of business soon, so can't go there again. No Chol Hamoed, you know, like, I know what Chol Hamoed trips are going to be like. But we know that Sfira is supposed to be a happy time. Why is Sfira a sad time? So the Gemara in Yevamos tells us, because the Talmidei de Rabbi Akiva died during this time. The Talmidei de Rabbi Akiva, the students of Rabbi Akiva. And they all died during this time. You make the Cheshbon, again, the Gemara says 24,000 students, 12,000 Zugos, 12,000 Chavrusas, 24,000 students. Again, there are Rishonim who say that it's a Guzma, that it doesn't literally mean 24,000. Just meant a lot, a lot, a lot. Others say, no, it means literally. Rabbi Akiva was the greatest teacher of Torah in his generation, and we know that actually Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi was the editor of the Mishnah, but most of the actual Mishnayos themselves were authored by Rabbi Akiva and his Talmidim. Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi was the editor, but some say, no, that Mamash, Rabbi Akiva had that many Talmidim. And you make a cheshbon of how many Talmidim were dying a day, if it's really Mamash 24,000. You're talking about a lot of Talmidim every day. You're talking about hundreds and hundreds of Talmidim every day. So the question asked, even if it wasn't 24,000, but it was a lot of Talmidim, meaning it left a gaping wound, an open gaping wound on the spiritual standing of the Jewish people. And the Gemara says that Mamash Jewish people could have been spiritually destroyed if it wasn't for the fact that Rabbi Akiva went to the south and found 5 Talmidim from which he restored all of Torah. I mean, each of those Talmidim were Mamish Tzadikim Yisod Olam, Shem Bar Yochai, Rabbi Meir, I mean, Mamish, the greats of the greats, these 5 Talmidim. But the Maharal says, why did they all die during this time? Why Dafka this Tekufa, this period, Bein Pesach La'atzeres, between Pesach to Shavuos? Well, obviously, there's a lesson, and what was the lesson? If you remember the Maharal, we once learned this Maharal before, the Maharal says the lesson is Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah. That before a person can come to accept Torah on Shavuos, there has to be fundamental derech eretz. There has to be basic midos. And if you don't have the basic midos, if you don't have the basic derech eretz, then you don't have Torah. Your Torah is not a Torah. And therefore, it's specifically during this time of year that many, many svarim and tzaddikim talk about the importance of Dafka working on Midos. And that's why we know many have a custom every night of Sfira, the Tefillah, there's a long Tefillah that's said, right? After Sfira Saomer. No? You ever see it? The Tefillah that many people say, Ribon Kol Olam, Ribon Shel Olam, Atetz Visanu, right? That with every night we count, we fix another Mida, another attribute, another one of the Sfiros. And if you want online, there's a very nice app by Rabbi Yaakov Haber. At least it's on the app store of Apple, of a whole sefer that he wrote, the Mamsha, different avoda for every night of Sfira, based upon your midah, and how Bein Adam L'Chavero, and how Bein Adam L'Makom, beautiful, beautiful thing, that really every day in Sfira we're supposed to be working on ourselves to make ourselves worthy receptacles of Torah. And we know that this is really what Torah is all about. That it's not only that this is the hakdama for Torah, but really this is the whole essence of the Torah. On the Pasuk in Mishlei, Perek Dalet, Pasuk Yud Gimel, the Vilna Gaon says that the Vilna Gaon, it's brought down from the Vilna Gaon, Talmidim of the Gaon point out, Shetafkido shel olam ba'olam hazeh, that the purpose of a person in this world, the Gaon says, is to fix your midos. And it's not just a nice thing, or, oh, a very pious or saintly person fixes her midos or fixes his midos. He says, it's the reason why you're here. if a person isn't constantly strengthening herself and trying to improve on midos, lama lo chayim? Why are you alive? And, you know, the Rambam talks about this in Hilchos Tshuva, that we have to do tshuva for bad midos, just like we have to do tshuva for averos. You have to do tshuva for a bad mida. A person that's an angry person has to do tshuva for being an angry person. The Rambam says, even if it doesn't bring you to any sin, even if you never hurt a person because you were angry, you never spoke Lashon Hara, oh, I hate that person, you never did that, you still have to do tshuva for the mida. Right? So where does it come from? What is the source in the Torah that a person should have good midos? It's the pasuk of v'halachta bedrachav. This is what the Rambam writes in Hilchos Deos. The Rambam writes, what does v'halachta bedrachav mean? You should go in his ways. Rav Salvechik liked to say it in the Latin, imitatio Dei, right? Imitation of the divine, imitating God. You're supposed to be godlike. And what that means is that we have a responsibility to have the midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a whole sefer actually written talking about this, Tomer Devora. Right? You've heard Rav Moshe Cordovero, one of the great Kabbalists of Tzfat. So he wrote a sefer, Tomer Devora, the attributes of God, the 13 attributes, Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim, how what they exactly mean and how we should act in accordance with God's Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim. And that's in the Sefer Tomer Devora, which many yeshiva stafka learn during El, because El is a time that Al Pi Kabbalah, the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim, Hashem's Midos of attributes of mercy are shining, and so by learning them and acting them, we shine with those same attributes, and we receive divine mercy. But what we're talking about during this Zman of Sfira is something else, is really acquiring for ourselves the ability to enter into, and again, we're not going to totally be changed by Shavuos. But what we have to get during this time is the ratzon, is the desire to commit ourselves to the lifelong challenge of working on midos. And it's really, it is a lifelong challenge. And some of the things that we're going to say tonight, this is all hakdama, by the way, this is all introduction, so I hope you're comfortable. No, I'm joking. Sort of joking. But some of the things that we're going to say tonight, we've already said before, but I think it's kedai to review them. You know, the Mesilas Yesharim, Rav Moshe Chaim Lutzato, he writes in the introduction to his great magnum opus, one of the greatest works of Musar that exists, is that you're not going to find too many chidushim in his sefer. You're not going to find too many novel ideas, too many new ideas. But he says the idea sometimes is just to go over them and to go over them again and again and again. So anything that I've said tonight, I don't know if I've said it four times already, that it's Bechinas learning it for the one time, like the Stipler, a la Elisa Titan. I'm not sure if I said them four times, but I said a lot of these things already at least once. But it's something that we should really set ourselves to. And what we have to recognize also is we're not talking about good manners. We're not talking about being having social graces. We're talking about something else entirely. We're talking about being a Baal Midos. Being a Baal Midos from the Torah's demands is something totally, totally different than having good manners or being a refined human being. And you know, it's a famous story that we once told that Talmidim of the Saba Mislobodka, of the altar of Slobodka, the first Rav Nosson Zvi Finkel, so he opened one of the first great Musar yeshivos, Slobodka. It wasn't only Musar, they learned lots of things. Many great Talmidim learned in there, many great Rosh Yeshivas, Rav Aaron Cutler, Rav Ruderman, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, they all came from Slobodka. It was like a breeding ground for Gedolim. But there was one time a debate that was going on in Slobodka that one of the Talmidim, Rav Avram Elia Kaplan, came back from spending some time in Germany. And he came to tell the Altar of Slobodka, Rav Nosson Zvi Finkel, like what Bali Midos Tovos the Germans were. They're such refined people. They're such cultured people. And a whole fight broke out in the yeshiva, not a fight, but a machlokes. Can we say that? Is it proper to say that the Germans have good Midos, that we should learn from the Midos of the Germans? One of the people who felt very stark not was Rabbi Yitzchak Huttner, also a Talmud in Slobodka. Rav Huttner became famous later on as being the Rosh Hashiva of Chaim Berlin in Flatbush, and the Rosh Hashiva of Pachad Yitzchak, Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, that his son-in-law, Rabbi Yonason David, now runs. And Rav Huttner felt very strong, you can't learn from the Nazis. You can't. But there was another Talmud in the yeshiva, said, what do you mean? It's a Mishnah Mefereshes in Pirkei Avos. Ezu Chacham Halomen Mikol Adam. A wise person learns from everyone. We should learn from the Germans what it is to have midos and what it is to be a refined human being. And he brought as a raya that, you know, if you ask a German for directions, he doesn't just say right or left. After he'll say right or left, he'll then say, is it not so? And however you say that in German. They all are like a sign of humility. Isn't that amazing? They don't just say, oh, where is it? Oh, it's right. Go straight, straight, and then you hit the light, make a right. They'll say straight, straight, and then right. Is that not so? It's a sign of humility, right? Isn't that a beautiful thing? So this was the fight going on in yeshiva. Years pass. Rav Huttner is giving a shiur in Chaim Berlin in Brooklyn. An elderly gentleman walks in, sits in the back, listening to the shiur. After the shiur, Talmidim hacking around Rav Huttner. They leave. This old man comes up to Rav Huttner and says, don't you recognize me? He says, no. He says, we were in Sabatka together. He says, oh my gosh, Shalom Aleichem. He sticks out his hand to say Shalom Aleichem to the guy. The guy sticks up his arm. It's a stub. He says, this is what I came to talk to you about. He says, what do you mean? He said, don't you remember we had a debate in yeshiva once when Rabbi Avraham Elia Kaplan came back from Germany and he was saying about the midos of the Germans and we were debating whether or not. I remember. So he told him, I want you to know that it was in a concentration camp. The Nazi, when he cut off my arm, he said, it hurts. Is it not so? You're going to lose your hand. Is it not so? And he just said that at that moment, I just said, how could I have ever thought that I could learn midos from such people? When we talk about midos, we're not talking about culture, refinement, being nice. We're talking about the Torah's demands of v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha, of lo sisnas achicha bilvavecha, lo sikom v'lo sitar, not to take revenge, but not only not to take revenge. One of the greatest declarations of Hashem's faith in the human ability to control our emotions is lo sitar. What does it mean, lo sitar? It means don't hold a grudge. Don't hold a grudge. You know what that means, don't hold a grudge? It means, it's the famous Medrash Rashi quotes. If a neighbor comes to borrow your shovel. If you go to your neighbor to borrow a shovel, and the neighbor says, no, you can't have my shovel. You're not using it. It's sitting there in your backyard. No, you can't use my shovel. You can use it. No, I'm not using it, but you can't use my shovel. When the guy comes 2 days later to borrow your rake, you have to give him a rake, and you can't even say to him or feel, you know what, I'm going to give you my rake, you no good Nick, you're a low, yeah. I'm not like you. You can't even do that. You can't even hold a grudge. You have to let it go. Because we're not talking about manners. This isn't like a column in the newspaper, Dear Abby, that was the relationship advice, right? What was a columnist about manners? Well, that was her sister, Ann Landers, right? What isn't Dear Anne? Whatever it was, etiquette, right? What? Miss Manners, right? We're not talking Miss Manners here. We're talking about Midos Tovos. We're talking about the definition of a human being. And this is something that, for those that were in our Navi Shir, unfortunately know this all too well, that when Midos are not defined by the Torah HaKadosha, unfortunately, it could lead to great kilkel. The famous Medrash, Amr Yeshua ben Levi, Kol Shu Rachman al Achzarim, L'sof Naase Achzar al Rachmanim. That anyone that is merciful against people that he's supposed to be cruel to, eventually he's going to be cruel to people that he should be merciful to. And who's the Medrash talking about? The Medrash is talking about Shaul HaMelech. Because Shaul HaMelech was supposed to do what to Agag? He was supposed to kill him. But he doesn't kill Agag. And instead, what does Shaul HaMelech wind up doing? He winds up wiping out Nov Ir HaKohanim. He has a city of Kohanim massacred. How could that be? And what Chazal are telling us, But Amr Bishub and Levi, Kol Shu Rachman Al Chazarim L'Sof Nasa Achzar Al Rachmanim, is that midos are defined by the Torah. What the Torah tells us is the proper perspective to have. And that's why a Baal Midos means to be an owner of Midos, to be the Baal Midos, to own Midos. What does that mean? Baal Midos is that at different times you have to use different Midos. And you're going to have to draw them out. Again, there's some times that the person has to display harshness. There's times a person has to, of course, have display avid. You know, there are stories, so many stories that we could talk about, but not just here to tell stories tonight, here to learn something also. But, you know, so many times that we talk about what midos have to be exercised in different circumstances. And so that's what we have to understand. What we're talking about tonight is not being a nice person. Of course, you should be a nice person. Don't be a jerk, right? But we're not talking about being a nice person. We're talking about being committed to refining our traits. And it's la'ela la'ela, meaning it's a constant, work. This isn't something that a person is finished with. This is something that we're constantly working on. I mean, and there are the stories of the great tzaddikim and tzaddikas, is how they were like totally beyond, whether it was Rav Moshe Feinstein, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, whether it was Rebbetzin Henny Machlis. You know, people that were really la'elo la'elo, just like unbelievable people, that their midos were so, so in line, so committed to Torah, Akadosha. And that's what we're talking about tonight. And when we talk about this, I want to share with you a quote from Reb Chaim Vital. Reb Chaim Vital was the student of the Ari HaKadosh, right? He was the one, when the Arizal came from Egypt to Tzfat, he came to find one student, that he was supposed to pour his wisdom into this one student who was going to share it with the world. And everyone wanted to be that student, and we know that that one student was Reb Chaim Vital. Different stories, how he was chosen to be that student. No, I told you that story once, no? They say that the way that Ari HaKadosh knew was supposed to be Reb Chaim Vital is because whenever he was giving a shiur in public, Reb Chaim Vital would always fall asleep at the punchline. So the Ari Zal said, it's supposed to be him. The Sitra Achra, the forces of Tumah are getting him, he's the guy. And whenever he was trying to learn with him, even to one-on-one, he'd fall, like, he couldn't stay up. So the Ari Zal put him in a rowboat. They went out into the middle of the Kinneret, right? Tzfat, right near the Kinneret. They went out in the Kinneret, and the Ari Zal said, stop here. He put a cup into the Kinneret. He told him, drink. He drank. I'm sure he said a bracha. Drank. They rode back, and they learned, and Reb Chaim Vital stayed up the whole time. And he was able to get, and he said, what was that? So what was it? It was the Be'er Miriam. The Be'er Miriam was a rock that gave that water. When the Jews came to Eretz Yisrael, it planted itself in the Kinneret. And the Arizal was able to chashbonais where in the Kinneret it was. Okay, that's how he knew his students was Reb Chaim Vital. So Reb Chaim Vital sharing the teachings of the Ari HaKadosh. So he says, we're not going to get into the Kabbalah of it, the lower level of soul, the higher level of soul, but I want to give share a quote. V'nimtza, ki yoser tzarech lizahar mimidos haraos, yoser menakim hamitzvos, asei velos asei. That a person has to be more careful with bad character traits than you do of fulfilling mitzvos, positive and negative mitzvos. Ki b'hiyoso ba'al midos tovos b'nei kal yikayim kol ha-mitzvos. The Reb Chaim Vital is teaching us, and again, it's based on Kabbalah. It's based on that the lower level of soul is where you find emotions, where you find the midos. The higher level of soul is where you find kiyum ha-mitzvos, but you can't get to the kiyum ha-mitzvos without the midos. And that's why he says that you have to be more careful about working on the midos than kiyum ha-mitzvos. And I know this sounds very antinomian. Some might say it sounds Christian. Oh, it's about being a good person, not the laws. No. We're saying you can't really do the laws without having the proper midos. And the raya is an unbelievable raya from the Sefer Madrigas Adam, again, from another one of the great Bali Musar, And that is that the Gemara in Shabbos tells us that when Moshe Rabbeinu, again, there's all hachana for Shavuos, and the Agadah to Gemara's in Shabbos that tells us a lot of the stories of what was happening up at Har Sinai. We know when Moshe went up to receive the Torah, he was being blocked. Who blocked Moshe Rabbeinu? Not blocking for him, meaning blocking him from coming up to take the Torah. Who didn't want him to take the Torah? No? The Malachim, right? Yeah, remember now? The Malachim didn't want him to take the Torah. Why not? They said, why should people take this? This is so amazing. This is so special. This is so precious. This is the blueprint of all creation. Why are you giving it to human beings? Hashem, how could you? So what happened? The Gemara tells us that Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe, answer them. Moshe, debate the Malachim. Right? This is only Moshe Rabbeinu. So what does Moshe Rabbeinu tell them? It says, well, he says, tell me, do you have jealousy amongst you? No. So what does lo sikam? Tell me, do you have hatred amongst you? No. So what's lo sisna achicha bilvavecha? He says, no, the Torah is meant for us, for people that can be jealous, that can hate. The Torah is for us. And Rav Kestenbaum points out that now we understand the words of the Shir HaShirim Rabbah, Medrash and Shir HaShirim. That's really an unbelievable Medrash, because of the implication, similar to what Reb Chaim Vital just said. Listen to this Medrash. I'm going to just read it to you, the translation, that Hashem says to the Jewish people, please pay attention, that you shouldn't hate one another, that you shouldn't be jealous of one another, you shouldn't fight with one another, you shouldn't embarrass one another, because if you do, then the Malachi Asharis are going to come to me and say, Ribon Shel Olam, the Torah you gave to the Jewish people, ain't on Oskinbach. They're not being Osek Batorah. They're not toiling in Torah. They're not keeping your Torah. Right? You hear what this means? He points out that a person who has Midos Ra'os, a person whose character traits are unrefined, the person who is not, and again, we're always in the process of refining them further and further. What's unrefined, right, meaning what we consider refined today, in 2 weeks should be unrefined, meaning this is a process, this is a lifelong process, our Midas Tovos. You know, Rabbi Shlomo Salanter said that fixing one Mida is mamish harder than learning all of Shas. And I think I once told you the story that there was a relatively young father who passed away just suddenly from, I think it was a brain aneurysm. Mamish at work in Eretz Yisrael, he lived in Ramat Beit Shemesh. He would come by Reisha to Davin, and he Davin with us Yom Naram. I remember my brother was very shaken when this person, Michael Selesny, Zichrono Levracha, passed away. He was the first person that ever passed away while my brother was his Shliach Tzibur that year. He really shook my brother. And a young Almana, a young Yisomim, it was like really a horrific situation. One of my sisters-in-law was very close with Almana, was there day and night during the Shiva. And one of the things that brought her the greatest nechama was when Rav Yitzchak Cohen Shlita, Rebbe at YU, was a big Baal Musar. He's like an old-time Baal Musar. He's like intense. I was zocheh to have him as a ninth grade Rebbe, and then I was in camp with him in Moresh HaKol for ninth grade, 10th grade, and 11th grade. And Rav Yitzchak Cohen talks like this. Rav Yitzchak Cohen talks like this. Very intense. Very intense. Like in ninth grade, we were petrified of him. I was like so afraid. But he was like such a tzaddik. Really, I admit, one of the great joys of my life was when a YU guy, when I gave a Musar Shmuz in YU Elsman 2 years ago, and the Rav Yitzchak Cohen was sitting there and listening to it, and afterwards he gave me tremendous shkach. That brought me on. But the biggest I know is a guy in the YU based Medrash called me up that Thursday night. The Rav Yitzchak Cohen was giving a Musar Shmuz to like frisch guys that come for like Thursday night Musar or something, and like a high school program to all these high school guys. And he quoted something I said in the Sichas Musar class. I said, that's like, okay, like take me now. That's it. I'm good. I was quoted by Rav Yitzchak. Like he's mamish, one of the Gedolei Ador Musar. And he came to this young Almana and he told her, when your husband was in YU, we were very close. We used to learn every morning, like at 6 o'clock in the morning. And I want you to know, we used to speak about real things in Avodas Hashem, and your husband did what Rabbi Yisrael Salanter said is harder than learning all of Shas. Your husband changed his midos. You should know what a special person he was. And that was the thing that brought her tremendous, tremendous nachas ruach. So we understand what I'm telling you now is not something, okay, we're going to decide, and you know, by Shabbos we're good. You know, by Shabbos we fixed all our midos. Life is a journey, right? Shlomo Melch tells us, Ein tzaddik ba'aretz asher yaseh tov l'yechto. There's no one that's a total tzaddik. Sheva yipal tzaddik v'kam, that the tzaddik falls seven times, and he knows he falls. She knows she falls. We fall. And actually, Kasimam elsewhere in the Sefer, he says that's what makes a person a tzaddik. That they're okay. They know they fell. Okay, they don't break because they fell. Okay, I fell. I have to pick myself up. I fell. Okay, you know we're not so fragile in terms. We make mistakes, right? One of my rabbis once told me he thinks it's a mitzvah to make, you know, three major mistakes and 10 minor mistakes every day. If you don't make three major mistakes, 10 minor mistakes every day, it's not good. You're being too much of a perfectionist. That's what he told me. Yeah, another Adon Gadol told me, as a rav in a shul, if 5 to 15% of the Baal Batim don't hate you, you're not doing your job. Okay, great. So every time I check, yeah, this one hates me. Okay, I'm hated enough. It's good. I'm still good. And this one's obviously not going on while you Torah. So it's good you're here. I might not even send this one out. We'll see. Yeah, this might be by request only this year. But the idea that the Medrash and Shir HaShirim said, do you see what it says? It says that if you have midos ra'os, you're not osek b'Torah. I don't care if the person looks like the biggest Haredi in the world. I don't care if the person doesn't eat gebrachs until Lag BaOmer. No, I'm saying I don't care, you know, the bulletproof stockings, I don't care whatever chumrah they have. If the person's midos are just not refined, the person's not Omid al Adas, not working on herself, on himself, they're not Osik Batorah. What they're doing might be self-serving. You know, and that's unfortunately how my Rebbe, Rav Aaron Lichtenstein Zatzal, whose Yahrzeit's coming up, how he touched up the whole story of Shaul. Why Shaul HaMelech lost his kingdom for not killing Agag. David HaMelech, again, for those that are in the Navi Shir Shabbos afternoon, we know David HaMelech did things that were also not good, but he didn't lose his kingdom. Shaul HaMelech doesn't kill Agag, and he loses his kingdom. Why? So everyone points to the fact that he tried to defend himself, or wasn't, you know, tried to make excuses. David says, Chatasi Lashem, right away. But Rav Aaron said that the fact that he doesn't kill Agag calls everyone that he did kill into question. Was that really because it was Ratzon Hashem? Or because he was bloodthirsty? Like, that's the danger. And again, Rav Aaron, only Rav Aaron, such a Kaddish Elyon, he told us before we went to Bein Azmanim, say, like, you know, when you go in Bein Azmanim, when you have a break, you know, or no, he said, when you're going out into the world and you're working in business and you can't learn as much and this and that, and the question is, what do you do when Yontif comes? Do you sleep all day? Or do you, you know? So, I mean, then it shows that you're working. You wouldn't want to be learning. You know, it gave us some very good mussar using this lesson from Shaul HaMelech, but that's exactly what the Medrash and Shir HaShirim Rab is telling us. That on the outside, a person can look holy and great, and the inside's mamish desolation. And he points out that that's why midos tikkun hamidos, he says, hudover pnimi. It's something that's very intimate. It's something that's very, very much a personal matter. And that's why he quotes again from Reb Chaim Vital, Ki midosav shel adam nimdados ach v'rak kefi achso el eshto. That so often the midos of a person are really only measured by how you treat those closest to you. By those, you know, the old line from that movie, love means never having to say you're sorry. Like, this is an old movie for me, so maybe two people know this reference. That's it, right? Sorry, don't mean to make you feel old. But, right, love story, yeah, you know the movie I'm talking about? Love means never having to say you're sorry. That's totally anathema to what Reb Chaim Vital says. Lehepech. Love means treating those closest to you with the greatest respect. Rahman al-Itzlan, you know, people who on the outside, because they want to be seen a certain way, this or that, but at home or differently. It's like, it just shows what, that's Reb Chaim Tal saying, who is a person really? And that's the Davar Panimi. That's what he means, that Midos, that Tikkun HaMidos is really something that's very intimate, and it's something that's very, very much a personal matter. Because, like the Gemara tells us, with Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, when he was on his deathbed, and his Talmidim asked him for the great advice, and he told them that the fear of heaven should be upon you like the fear of people. And they said, that's it? And what was his answer to them? Halavai. Halavai, the fear of heaven should be upon you like the fear of people. Because before a person sins, he looks around, she looks around, anyone looking, no, okay, now I can do the sin. But we don't have that fear of Hashem. So too, when it comes to Midos, we have to know Midos again. It's not about how we appear. Midos is about who we are in our essence. So the question is, now we just talked about the importance, how do we work on Midos? How does a person really work on Midos? Right? Tachlis. So there are two things. The first is a mitzvah that we've learned about many, many times, Yesod from the Sefer HaChinuch, Yesod from the Rambam, Yesod in psychology today, Adayom Hazeh, right? That it's a Yesod Gadol. I still remember when I was having issues with a roommate of mine in college, when I was early admissions. I was taking college seriously at the point, and I was having issues with a roommate. It was like, you know, a friend, but sometimes you don't want to room with your friends, you know, because like, wasn't going well. That's why Rabbi Zwickler is still amazed that they haven't killed each other, that they still enjoy each other's company. He keeps calling all the time. But I still remember I had issues with a roommate of mine, and I went to my Rebbe at the time, Rebbe Meir Twersky Shlita, and I said, Rebbe, what do I do? Like, I'm having issues with this roommate. I know I'm supposed to go to an RA or whatever. I went to my Rebbe. You know, you go to your Rebbe. You know? So I said, what do I do? So he says, Chaim, go out of your way to try and do favors for him. I said, huh? He said, go out of your way to try and do favors for him. So I did. And I said, Rebbe, he goes, you know what? For the next 2 weeks, try and do this, and then come back and we'll talk. So I said, okay. And for the next 2 weeks, I'm mamish. You know, it was before the age of cell phones. I left him sticky notes by his desk. You know, do you need anything from the calf? I'm going later. You know, what time do you want me to do? Like, all these different things. I could, you know, I'm going to get food. Where do you want it? And 2 weeks went by. Mamish, I went out of my way to try and do favors for this guy whenever I could. And I went to my Rebbe 2 weeks later, and he said, Nu, how's it going? I said, it's great. He said, he doesn't bother you anymore? I go, he doesn't bother me anymore. He's not annoying anymore? He's not annoying anymore. I don't know if this works with siblings. I don't know, you know. So I said, Rebbe, what's the secret? So he opened up the Archa Sadikim. And the Archa Sadikim says that if you want to come to love a person, to care about a person, do acts of caring. Do maisim of chesed for the person, and you'll develop ahava and concern and care for the person. He said, you went out of your way to do favors for him. That builds concern for him. That builds love for him. In Hebrew, it's called achar pu'ulos nimshachin halavavos. That after our actions are our emotions and midos drawn, right? The Rambam talks about it, about giving tzedakah, $1,000 to one moser, or give a dollar to 1,000 different places. What's greater? What's greater? So there's a debate in different ways what that means, you know. You know, obviously the moser that you give $1,000 to, you make a big difference. $1 to each place, what are you doing? Each place, you're not really helping. And that's true. But the Rambam says, but on the certain aspect of giving, of training yourself, it's much greater to give 1,000 times, right? It makes you more into a giver. And that's a famous, famous Hasidic Shemais, I think we told once before, with the Balat Tanya, Rebbe Levi Yitzchak, and I think it was, I don't know who the third was, it might have been Rav Moshe Leib Sasever, that there was a crazy case of a Yosom and a Yosoma that were getting married, and the community was making the chasana for this orphan boy and orphan girl. And as it happened back in the days, these are things we don't really experience, Baruch Hashem, in our days, really. But out of nowhere, the authorities basically jailed the orphan boy, and the head of the police said, you want him back? 10,000 rubles. Meaning they knew that this was a big simcha in the whole community. Everyone put them together the money to make this chasana. And he said, you want this guy out for his chasana? 10,000 rubles. Get it from your community. And the tzaddikim, Talmidim of the Magen Mizrich, he was the one that sent them all. I think it was the third of Marshal Lips Asover. It was definitely the Baal Tanya Rebbe Yitzchak, and I think that was the third. And so what happened was that they're going around collecting. And they realize, you know what, again, I'm getting a penny here, Benny. We need 10,000 rubles. What? There's one guy, famous, famous miser, lived on the outskirts of town, very, very rich guy. That, you know, he's the guy. Him, he doesn't give. Let's go to him. And the way I heard the story, the Baal Tanya said, just told the others, whatever I do, just follow my lead. And he goes, tells the butler, we're here to see your master, please, it's very important. And these were distinguished rabbis, these weren't schleppers, you know. Okay, look, he's a Jewish guy, yes, you know, these rabbanim, you can't throw them away. And they say, listen, you don't understand, this is a yasam. He was jailed. He's supposed to be getting married tomorrow. Mamash, such a mitzvah, such a simcha. Please, the community raise money. There's no more money to do this. We need so much. 10,000 rubles. And the usher is really, really, like this miser, is really, really mitrageish. He's really emotional. He says, you know what? I'm going to help you. Hold on. And he comes, and he comes back, and he gives him a zloty. Give him one. Gives him like not even a ruble. Give him a quarter of a ruble. Rebbe Yitzchak wants to throw it back in his face. Like, you're playing with us? We need 10,000 rubles. What? And the Baal Tanya says, thank you so much. It's such a help. You don't understand. Wow, amazing. Thank you. And they're walking away. And the others are about to explode in the Baal Tanya. What are you doing, you idiot? Patience. They're walking down the hill from the big rich man's house. And the butler comes, wait, my master would like to see you again. Comes back up. Says, you know what? I thought about it more. I want to give you more. Oh, thank you so much. And they're like, oh, now he's playing. Another zloty. Another quarter. Baal Tanya, thank you so much, really. Back and forth, until gave the whole sum of 10,000 rubles. And he was the honored guest at the chasana, and he took care of the whole chasana. And then he became a big nadvan. He became a big gvir. The biggest baal nadvan, the biggest tzedakah giver in the community. What happened? So the Baal Tanya said, told the others, you have to understand how this happened. He said, he used to give, but he gave amounts that people didn't think were enough because he's a Thompson, he's a stingy guy. So people threw it back in his face, people would yell at him, you didn't give enough. And what did it train him to do? Trained him just to not give anything. To not give. And then the Baal Tanya said he had to be trained to give again. And so when I saw he was mitrageish, he really was emotional. He gave us that. That's all he was. It's all he was capable of giving us. If we would have thrown it back at him, we would have closed him up again. But I saw there was a little opening. Thank you. I opened it a little wider. Our actions can define us. Our emotional state. And it's a very sad story that Rabbi Pesach Kron tells. You know, of a city in the Midwest, a very, very wealthy guy that mamish, like, on his deathbed. Very wealthy guy on his deathbed. The head of the Beis Yaakov. The Beis Yaakov was, like, in trailers and broken down. They need a new building. Said to the guy, just give this money to us. Mamish, a multi-millionaire is going to do nothing. The zechus you'll have giving it to us is a much bigger zechus than your kids. Give it in your memory. Just give it. And the guy started crying, and he said, my heart wants, but the hands won't open. And he died. He said, the heart wants, but the hand just won't open. So the first way, you really want to work on your midos, and the Mussar schools sometimes went to extreme lengths to do this, but it's through action. Through action. Motivating actions, little actions, little by little, achar pulos nimshachan alvavos. Like the Rambam says, giving the dollar 1,000 times affects you more than giving 1,000 once. Because why? Like they say, dying al kiddush Hashem is not as great as living al kiddush Hashem. That's why, even though Akedas Yitzchak was willing to give up his life, it was in a sign of Avram more than it was in a sign of Yitzchak. I know that sounds crazy. What do you mean? Yitzchak was willing to give his life. Avram was just willing to take a life. What? So it was in the sign of Avram, because a person in a moment can be so inspired, do something extreme. I'll give you $1,000. But to give $1,000, $1 at a time, day in, day out, that means consistently, there's a sense of giving and what it means to give. That's the first thing. The second thing, for a person to really work on midos, aside from thinking about what actions, and the Rambam talks about this in Hilchos Deis, that if a person is a stingy person, force yourself to give money. If a person spends too much, force yourself to hold back. If a person, you know, the Rambam says the ideal is the Shvil Azav, is the Derech HaMamutza, is the, with every midah, it should be in the middle, except with two midas, Gaiva and Kas. Arrogance and anger, you have to go to extreme. Everyone has to be an extremist. But otherwise, Mida should be in the middle. So when you're pulling to one way, you have to do actions in the other way, right? So that's in terms of actions. There's something else that also is the other part of Tikkun HaMidos, and that is the Koach HaSeichel. Using your intellect to work on Midos. So, okay, so it's getting late, and it's already over, I've already been talking over 45 minutes, so we'll stop here. We'll just end with one idea from Rav Noach Weinberg, Zeichet Tzadik Livracha, founder of Eishat Torah, that he also has in the Sefer here. He doesn't say it's from Rav Noach. Again, I heard it from Rav Noach. It's probably in a number of different Sfarim. But the idea is a very, very simple idea. Rav Noach says, imagine you would see, you know, a five-year-old child acting like a three-year-old child. Would that bother you if a five-year-old acts like a three-year-old? It's a little bit, you know. Let's say a 10-year-old acts like a 5-year-old. What happens then? Something's off. 15-year-old acts like a 10-year-old. 20-year-old acts like a 15-year-old. In all of these stages, it's like a Nebuch, right? He says, so what happens when the 50-year-old acts like a 45-year-old? What happens when the 30-year-old acts like a 25-year-old? Do we say Nebuch? So why not? Aren't we constantly supposed to be moving forward? We have this idea of like plateauing. We don't plateau. Right? There's a book written by a person, Richard Bach, called Illusions. He's famous for a book called Jonathan Livingston Siegel, right? Now you remember that? Trippy book, trippy movie, whatever. Not a Siegel, whatever. But he wrote a book called Illusions, the ponderings of a reluctant messiah or something like that. And he has like these aphorisms in the book. And what aphorisms is, when I wake up in the morning, it means that God has something for me to do today. It's a very simple statement. It's what we say every morning. God, you have great faith in me. And that's one thing that Rav Kestenbaum points out in the Sefer, that we have no idea how great we can really be. Human beings are constantly selling themselves short of what they can accomplish. And he says, Dafka in the realm of Midos. We think, again, you don't have to open your home to paupers like Rebbetzin Machlis and to be a tremendous Baalas Chesed. There are ways, you know, we said on the last day of Yontif, for those that weren't here, you know, we spoke about that the first days of Pesach, we talk about Hashem's Chesed to the Jewish people. The last days of Pesach are focused on the Jewish people's Chesed for Hashem. How we were Moser Nefesh, how Nachshon jumped into the Yamsuf. But we said that Mesiris Nefesh isn't only in the big things. Mesiris Nefesh is also in the small things. But it means really to be committed, really to work on it. And when we talk about getting ready for Shavuos, we talk about working on Midos. This is what we're supposed to, aside from getting good cheesecake recipes, and those are always important, figuring out the good milchiks, thanks for that, Sam, and it's excellent. We really enjoyed it, you know? No, real, it's geschmack. But the real hachana for Shavuos is making yourself into a person. Because we know the Karban Omer that starts this period of Svira is made from what material? It's made from barley. The Karban Shtei Alechem, which we bring on Shavuos, is made from what? Grain? Wheat. Who eats barley? You know who eats barley? That's animal feed. Well, now everyone eats barley, whatever, cholent, whatever. We're not getting into that. But who eats wheat? Wheat is the food of people. Everyone points this out. Everyone, chassidim, everyone, shonim. That what it means is during Sfira, where we're supposed to be evolving from animals to human beings. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Ashreinu matov chalkeinu, that we have the Torah to help us do this. to properly re-accept the Torah. But as we said, the midos, the work on the midos that we do has to be all predicated on halacha and predicated on hashkafas haTorah. So I know this is very intense tonight, and we probably can't do this for another 5 weeks. But you think we can? Really? You sure? Okay, I just won't send out a shir for 5 weeks. Although I always send them to Leah, and she says, yeah, you could send it out. Don't worry. We'll see. Okay, what? Yeah, but other people think I'm a lunatic. you know me, right? You know I'm a lunatic already. But okay, shkoyach. Should be good.